on bed very soon. Alright? Now I'm making my way down the platform, and this PSO clocks me coming down the platform. Now, for anyone who's not aware, a PSO, they're called Protective Service Officers, and basically they are guys who failed the police exam. And then they said, hey, do you want to be a ticket inspector? You can cosplay as a cop, and we'll give you a gun! I see you've had problems with them before. Alright, no, but, so, you know, no problems for abuse there, no problems for power or anything. And a PSO clocks me coming down the platform, says, you're drunk, to which I answer, no shit. Right? So you can see I started it. I'm aware. Now he goes, you're drunk, you shouldn't have been on the train. Yeah, why were you on the train? You should have taken a taxi home. At which point, we enter in a philosophical debate about the nature of public transport, what its service is, and the fact that if I'm not supposed to be on the train while drunk, why does his job exist? He does not like that answer. I don't think he was expecting so much philosophical pushback at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. Which is fair. So welcome to the Weird News Quiz. I am your host and actual winner of every gold medal in the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Get some good free to adjust my Wikipedia now. It'll save all the time. Matt Harvey. Before we meet our guests, for any new audience members, you are watching the Weird News Quiz. Now, I imagine you already know that because the process of watching one of these videos via the Fringe website is actually somewhat clunky. So you can't have stumbled across this by accident. But maybe your housemate is watching and is wondering why comedy is happening in an Australian accent that isn't involving Dave Hughes or those nice kids from The Project. So this is what you're watching. And this is a quiz show, and it involves some of the more unusual items from the news. You have not accidentally tuned into some sort of relaxed Sky News format where instead of shouting, we do jokes, though we do equally respect the news. Joining me on this fierce competition of japes and confusion are three first-time guests. First up, it is Pun Watch podcast host and actual winner of the Bird of the Year competition, Andrew Cherry.
Yes. I was really happy to beat out the magpie this year.
Yeah, magpie had it coming. Secondly is regular Pun Watch contestant and actual winner of the Ig Nobel Prize, it's David Shaw.
Hello.
And finally, comedian and actual winner of the 2020 Darwin Award, Jordan Barr.
Can't wait to see how it happens.
It's an exciting way to end the year, I think. It
gives you absolutely.
I was looking at their website just the other day. They've already got like four or five winners listed on their website. It's a bit of a dubious award to win. But, you know, off the top of my head, I can't even remember what they were. But they were quite, you know, as they are supposed to be, they were quite stupid.
Usually pretty impressive, yeah. Do they have a set number of winners each year, or is it just like you look at someone's death and go, well, that deserves one, and they get one?
I think that's the process. I haven't
seen that's it.
That, like, a countdown, and there's never really a consistent amount. Because I guess it's hard to guarantee that there's going to be, like, 10 every year.
Yeah, yeah.
You could just by sheer volume, but
I definitely prefer it as like a qualification rather than a winner. Like you just that was stupid enough. This meets all the criteria. You get an award.
Like a couple of meetings, and they're like, "That guy's really dumb. That guy's just kind of dumb."
Yeah. And you don't want to have a set number because one year you might end up with actual just tragic deaths.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and then it stops being funny. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's like 2020.
Yeah.
Well, you spend enough time in the, I guess, in that office, and what is a funny death to you probably changes compared to what is a funny death to regular people.
Yeah, it's...
You become jaded.
It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing that it hasn't just evolved into dead baby jokes, like, over the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. With that much exposure to dumb deaths, like you, your black humor would just go too far. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I imagine
you'd be looking at look at that stupid baby. What a stupid dumb baby.
I imagine they consulted on the Dumb Ways to Die song from Metro. You know,
yeah.
Some real obscure stuff in there, like because they still have some of the stickers on the train stations. and they have the guy falling down the escalator still to this day, and they haven't played that ad for a long time. So anyone who just moved here or didn't have that ad is just cartoon images of this Mike Wazowski-looking creature falling down the escalator and wondering what Melbourne Steel is.
Yeah, yeah. We're a weird bunch.
I saw a Trump supporter on TikTok use the Dumb Ways to Die song.
Oh, really?
And I was like, yeah, they were dancing, saying that, like, everyone should have the right to a gun, to the Dumb Ways to Die song. And I was like, interesting take.
Yeah, that's
usually we just see, like, little beans falling down.
The irony levels there are just off the charts. That's fantastic.
Well, we can expect him to take that one at some point. And that song will play at his funeral.
I hope so.
Let's go. I'll start off, you know, seeing as we're in the realm of Australia and we're not allowed to leave the country at the moment, start with some Australian news, some questions about Australia. So obviously the biggest news I think at the moment is that South Australia will come out of its hard lockdown tonight as of this recording on day 3 of its 6-day strategy. Why is it coming out early?
Ding.
Oh, yeah, you got it, yeah.
Someone lied.
Yeah.
The guy who works at the pizza place, he lied. He said that he just came to get some takeaway pizza.
Yeah.
But he actually works there. So because they thought that it was this like super thing of the virus. What's it called? Strand.
Strand, yeah.
Yeah. That just got transferred from like a moment on the lips, but it's actually the regular one, and that guy worked there for hours, and that's how he contracted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've knocked out about 3 or 4 questions there, which is amazing because that's
sorry, I'm just
really no, not at all. I like that. I like that you've come in like ready and you're just super informed about what's going on. Because so this guy
treating him like his mastermind. We'll have this thing done in 30 seconds. It'd be great.
So he came in. He works at one of those the Medi hotels, so the quarantine hotels, and he has this second job at the pizza place. And the assumption going around is that it was a cash-only job, and that's why he lied, because he didn't want to get in trouble with the government. So now he's given them this misinformation that... So I think he was trying to do the right thing. He was saying that he was there.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, I was there, but I was buying a pizza. But that has led the government to assume that it was just a moment of contact, which means coronavirus has evolved into a super strain. And that's why they went on this hard quarantine lockdown. Because they were just
it's not funny, but it's so...
Take them at their word. They're like, so where have you been the last couple of days? And they are really pushing at least here in Victoria, they're really pushing this narrative that you will not get in trouble. Just tell us where you've been. But now, given this guy's quite obvious lie, I'm curious how much of it can be traced back to misinformation in contact tracing. And just people not wanting to get friends in trouble, not wanting to get themselves in trouble, and essentially the breakdown of the work structure, you know, casualization of the workforce is the most potent issue in all of this, because it's
that's been the thing that's connected all of the outbreaks has been people working in insecure work.
Be it
at abattoirs or in the health services or all those things. Yeah, that's been the problem.
We've had to move between sites, and obviously that increases the risk.
But luckily now they will get free deposits to pay for half of the renovations to the homes that they definitely own. So that'll really knock out the casual work problem. Yeah.
Problem solved. Yeah. This has been listed as the toughest lockdown in Australia, and more so than Victoria. Does anyone know the 2 major changes to what the Victorian restrictions were? Because they're mostly the same.
Yeah, no farting.
At all. Bam. Well, it does create coronavirus plumes, and that is a problem. Oh. I don't know.
You know that picture of the two people standing in front of each other with just the red and blue plumes coming out of each other. There's another version you can get. Another version of that you can get on certain sites, paid sites, I think.
On the official Corona. Toilets and farts could create plumes. So if you went to the bathroom and you were infected and you shut the lid, you know, like when you next person to open a lid could be hit in the face with like a plume of coronavirus gas.
There's your Darwin Award.
Ooh, a really angry plume of coronavirus. Yeah. I do also wonder if they ended up coming out of the hard quarantine early because they all, you know, they live in South Australia, mostly Adelaide, and they went, okay, so we're just staying at home and not really doing. That's kind of what we were already doing.
What we do. There wasn't much going on during the week. Okay. They're just waiting for the weekend. There's a quick
one.
No, it's not February yet. That's when things kick
churches,
off.
Well, yeah, that's right. We took all the interesting things here in Melbourne and we just left them with the biggest fringe in Australia because we couldn't take it.
Yeah. They do about 80 things that week. They do like Wim Adelaide, Adelaide Festival, Adelaide Fringe. There's some like wine and food festival as well. And it's like spread it out, guys.
There's a reason you put people
in barrels. Like...
They need to get it all done one weekend and they've got the rest of the year to recover and just sort of sit quiet, which is what people like to do in South Australia.
And it's the shortest month as well, so they're just really cramming it in. Like, they don't even have those two
today. It's efficient.
Yeah, if it's a leap year.
Yeah. In that case, it's too much partying. The two major changes, I'll bring this back on track.
I think I know one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... they can't exercise.
That's right. No outdoor exercise.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And the second one, does anyone want to take a stab at the second one?
No Uber Eats.
Yeah. No deliveries. No food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys nailed it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So. You are forced.
I guess they thought that was why they got it.
Yeah, because it was in a pizza shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like, we can't have someone.
Powerful strain.
Working from the Woodville Pizza Place, just delivering super strains all around, everywhere.
Yeah.
Straight to your door. All right. And we're given two of the guys from Pun Watcher here, and I know that this is a tough thing to ask you to do, but the Australian has a semi-decent pun in a title.
Yes.
Given you guys, it's a pizza-based pun, obviously. Do you want to take
a stab? Is that a pizza... Pun?
Yeah. So they've given a title. This morning.
I'm thinking something with like super spreaders, super special.
Yeah.
Not bad. Family size blunder.
Oh, family size blunder would have actually been pretty good. I would have been happy with that.
I like that. Supreme spreader.
Supreme.
Spreader supreme.
Supreme spreader.
Supreme. So there goes as lies go. The Woodville pizza worker's lie was a triple supreme.
Yeah.
Doesn't even work.
Fuck it.
So clunky. But they've tried. And for the Australian, you know, given they have a general lack of sense of humour, you've got to give them points for trying.
Yeah. That one pun makes up for all the
triple
places.
Supreme?
Oh, yeah. See, that was my first thought. It was like, maybe it's an Adelaide thing. Maybe they've got something. But... I don't know about any triple supreme.
More capsicum.
A Capra Caesar. Like COVID.
A COVID Capra Caesar.
Doesn't work.
Pepperona?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That would have been great.
I mean, if the Australian want to give me a job and I can blow it up on the inside, that would be great.
It's not very good though. It's delivery driver, I don't know.
Sorry, I didn't wind your audio.
Sorry,
your audio cut out.
Oh,
you didn't bomb yet. We didn't hear it.
I don't know if
you're Zoom saved you from the worst joke I've ever made, which was this pizza delivery driver is called Lion.
Oh,
garbage.
All right.
I'll move
us away from the pun.
Explain to you that we write the puns on for Pun Watch ahead of time, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember doing the episode that I was on and just dedicating an entire afternoon to just being like, I'm going to smash out as many of these as I can so that I can actually put up a front for the people who do it regularly.
Yeah.
All right, so more Australia. It's been recently revealed that Australia, so we got this group called the Future Fund, which is supposed to be investing in like big scale projects for Australia. Like they, at one point, $2 billion was supposed to come out to go towards the NBN. That never ended up happening. But we found out this year that they invested in a failed piece of technology. Does anyone want to? It's already, because it started, it's collapsed already. Does anyone want to take a stab at what it was?
Segways.
Segways. No, not segways.
The dish.
The dish didn't fail. I mean, financially it failed. It was no the castle. But...
yeah.
It's pretty funny.
The dish is really good. Maybe they're doing a sequel to the dish, though. They're trying to, like, you know how we keep getting, like, reruns? They're trying to build another dish so that we remember.
Well, I don't know if you know, but the castle was created.
The dish too, the two of Sam Neill's character's life after he leaves the car park.
Well, the castle was actually created to prove that they were responsible enough and capable of handling a movie. So they made the castle as a way to get financing for the dish. And then the castle was like the killer movie that they made.
And yeah, for like, $10 as well.
Oh yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, that's which like they made the for $10. Who... Yeah, and then they get a bunch of money in the film. Fine.
Yeah. Does anyone want to take another guess before I give you the answer?
Failed technology
in the last 6 months, so it's like really new thing.
Like a laser printer.
Nah. One that doesn't run out in 2 minutes. No.
Yeah.
A hot person?
Has some sort of solar technology? Is that what you...
Yeah, as a solar technology.
Yeah. Oh, right.
They're like, how can we get...
Regenerating energy via their hotness.
Yeah.
They're like...
Right, okay, interesting.
So
we're
going to
do it.
We invested in the streaming giant Quibi.
Oh, shit. Fuck. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. Yes,
they did. So the two of you have heard of Quibi. Have you heard of Quibi?
Yeah.
I was. David looked confused. I was asking David.
I always look confused. And I've not heard of Quibi.
Okay, I guess for David and any audience members who might know, Quibi is a streaming service that was created by Jeffrey Katzenberg, the former. The basic intention was they are quick bites. So videos were no longer than, I think, 10 minutes, something that you could watch while, like, in the queue line somewhere. And you could only watch them either in the standard landscape format, like we like to watch things, or you could turn them and watch them standing up. And that was their innovation. Was that you could watch them both, and you couldn't share anything, and you couldn't screenshot anything. Everything was locked into the system. The only good thing about Quibi is that everything that the creators created, they maintain creative control of. So now that it's fast, they're free to ship it out to other services.
There was some good content on there from what I heard. It's just like people don't actually want more TV, as it turns out. They're like, we have enough. And
I've only watched The Dummy with Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that.
It was all right. Like you said, there's
a ton of streaming services that exist already. And people don't really want an additional one that is basically old man looks at Vine and misunderstands it.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially what it was.
Yeah, just looking at Vine and going, this could do with some lengthening.
Yeah. what if you watched long, expensive...
And didn't it also launch at the right at the time everybody started working from home? Yep. So the commute didn't exist.
Yeah. So. no queue lines, no commute. I mean, they are blaming coronavirus for the death of their app. They're like, it's coronavirus.
Sure, same.
That's I blame it on my career to this point, so it's fine. we've got our swings. How much do you want to take a step? How much they invested to the nearest million?
I'll go 500 million.
500 million. It's a noble amount.
I reckon 40 million.
40 million? 40 million? That's a good guess.
I'm going to go 4 trillion.
4 trillion?
Yeah.
How much was the job seeker blunder? 60 billion, actually. I changed mine to 60 billion.
You had to get that money back somehow.
Yeah.
Jordan was definitely the closest. It was 50 million. We put 50 million into which we will not be getting back. So
isn't it depressing? All the money this government's wasted. I look at $50 million going down the drain and going, "Oh, well, that's not bad.
Not so bad."
On the scale of incompetence with money, we could write that one off.
I was thinking about it though, because there's only 24 million people in Australia, and as a better investment, you could have given literally every person in Australia $2.
Yeah.
And that money would have been better invested in the economy. Like, they would have got a better return. Like, if everyone just bought a small coffee.
We could have made our own apps.
Yeah.
What are apples package where everyone just gets $2 in an envelope? Go and sink it into the economy.
Especially
delivered by Grand.
Spray it and wipe it down to make sure it's not an infected surface.
And have then take it to the lolly shop that existed in the 19th. Get a nice foxes or something. I don't know, some old
dollars of mixed lollies. You could have got during the lockdown. You could have got, because Qantas, they shut down, so they were selling all their airline meals for $2 a meal.
Oh God!
Yeah,
still that's too dear. Have you tried those? Yuck.
Who was it? Was it Virgin? Someone did that flight out of, so they just flew around for a couple of hours.
Qantas.
And then just landed back in Sydney. For people who were like missed being like on a regional flight so bad that they just wanted to go eat a bad meal and like pay $7 bucks for half a can of Coke.
Yeah.
I just need someone to put their chair back as soon as the lightning's on.
No, I don't know how I'm going to get through the coronavirus lockdown without some vein thrombosis.
Just must have been full of the most people. You know what I mean?
Just the worst as well. Like
Sydney, North Side, and then
on the way down.
We didn't hit our quota of wings.
Influencers taking photos out there to end. But
that's
the trouble was
somewhere.
Often it was overcast and the ground there. So you would look out the window and just see a white vault. It was very strange.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's fun until it's real.
Yeah. I was going to try and make jokes, but no, he said radio when he said.
It's Matt.
Matt.
Welcome home.
But I can't hear you, so just a second.
Now we can.
I think it was just a Zoom issue. It tried to boot me out.
I was going to say, we have 2.5 minutes left on this call, apparently.
Well, on my end, it says it's fine. It recorded through last
time. Okay.
I did it without the 40-minute restriction. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was weird, because we smashed out, an hour 20, including, just chatting to each other, and it didn't have a cry at all.
Great.
But now maybe because I did that, it's no, you will pay. Don't think you won't pay.
Yeah.
But I did hear that Cherry had started the answer.
Oh, yeah.
On the radio. That's all I
heard. Basil Zemplis was on the radio and he didn't believe the trans women. If you were a trans woman who was a woman, he would give you a $100 voucher.
Yeah.
Because, like, all AFL commentators in the 19.
And the dude's the Lord Mayor. Like, how...
That was his excuse. His excuse for why he said it was that he forgot he was Lord Mayor.
Yeah, his excuse was the best. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot. Aaron, Lord Mayors aren't allowed to be transphobic.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just look forward to using that excuse at work. I'll be like, oh, I forgot that I have a duty of responsibility to... to these people here.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Like, you see, he's the Lord Mayor, and he has this radio show that he does. And, like, maybe this is just it. Like, we just, how do they not pay him enough to just be Lord Mayor? Like, why does he need to do this radio show as well? It's casualization of the workforce.
yeah, and it all circles back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See? It's causing all sorts of issues. Coronavirus, it's causing transphobia,
memory loss.
Yeah, memory loss. He's like, what job am I doing?
Now I'm picturing a cycle helmet on. Maybe on the phone to someone. To a bag.
I mean, I guess having that I forgot I was mayor excuse, it's nice because Australia now has its own version of locker room talk. You know what I mean? It's like, hey. I just forgot. I just forgot I was. He had a few excuses, and he ended on "I forgot I was mayor." But I'll run you through some of the excuses that he gave. So he said it was a radio banter gone wrong, which is, you know, as far as bad excuses go, like it's at least interesting.
That's actually how the Korean War started.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the guys in the MASH hospitals there, and Robin Williams.
They had a lot of radio banter go wrong.
Yeah. He said, if I had the opportunity to take it back, I would, but I can't, which is, you know, very standard, unimaginative, non-apology.
Wait a minute. He has the opportunity to take it back whenever he wants. What is he talking about?
Yep, absolutely.
But yeah, can't. What the fuck? He could literally take it back.
That's
apparently not. He doesn't have a time machine. He cannot take it back.
Yeah, well, if only we'd invested $50 million in a time machine, you know?
Right? If only.
Yeah.
Quibi. Be like a quick bite of regret, and then you go back. You're done. And this is the last excuse he gave before admitting that he forgot. Is one of our jobs as broadcasters is to entertain. I was trying to be funny.
Trying being the operative word.
Trying doing some heavy lifting in that statement there.
I mean, there's nothing funny. That's definitely like just a spring of comedy. Did he at any point when he refute what he said? Like,
nope.
Okay. So, yeah.
No, he cannot take it.
I wish I could stop being a bigot, but I can't. It's just
it's happening.
You know what I mean? I wish to recognize that and accept it.
Yeah.
No, my dad was a bigot. His dad was a bigot.
Comes from a long line.
His dad before him. Yeah.
It's a proud family tradition.
I just woke up one morning and realized that I was a bigot. And that's just that's a part of me. And I want other people to know.
Yeah. I think bigots run on that flawed logic of, like, if I have to accept you for who you are, you have to accept me for who I am. And who I am is a bigot.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not accepting you by existing.
In order for me to be a bigot, I can't accept you. You need to accept that.
Yeah. We have to agree to disagree.
Great. Yeah.
And I disagree with you.
So there was a Victorian MP recently. His name's Will Fowles. And he was caught lifting speech sections from a TV series. Does anyone want to take a guess which TV series it was?
Keeping Kardashians.
Friends, season 4, when Chandler and Monica are keeping it a secret.
I wish I knew enough specifically about seasons of Friends to make a joke. I'm just going to run away. We were on a break and hope that that's appropriate season.
I don't really know. I just know that for a period of time, my isolation depressant manifested in me just having Friends on in the living room. I may not be there, but it was always there.
You just needed Friends. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Sometimes you disassociate, but you thought that Friends is still there.
Yeah.
It's like, yes.
Yeah. Plus, we're all trying to live that fantasy of having a monkey.
What show? He lifted all of EC's dialogue from Liftoff.
He got very good at mime that year.
The joke.
Eye in the sky.
I don't know.
That is back on.
I'm said something.
No. I watched the pilot of Pie in the Sky. Pie in the Sky is a British hybrid cooking and crime-solving show about Richard Curtis, the fat bloke from the Harry Potter films.
Richard Griffiths.
Richard Griffiths plays a detective who wants to retire and run a restaurant called Pie in the Sky.
Amazing.
But his superior, who's a craft detective, who's been riding on Richard Curtis's coattails his whole life, blackmails him into coming back to solve difficult cases.
Right.
But the it starts with Richard Curtis getting shot in the leg and a supervillain type criminal getting away in a plane. Much more action heavy start than I expect. So that's mostly about him making pies.
Is this the TV show that Brian Fuller just ripped off for his what's it called? Pushing Up Daisies? Has anyone seen Pushing Up Daisies?
Pushing Up Daisies was a great show.
It was, yeah. It's a pie maker solving crimes. I feel like I just feel like Brian Fuller's done some heavy lifting here himself.
Isn't he a pie maker who's not allowed to touch people?
Yeah.
Or is that if
someone dies, he touches them once, they come back to life for 60 seconds.
Oh,
he touches them twice, they go back, they die again. If he doesn't touch them in that 60 seconds, somebody nearby will die instead. And they stay alive, but he can't touch them. And that's the main
thing. Is that about consent or
I would like to think that that's the main message, but all of his shows are just about death, and so he's just finding obscure ways to ruminate on death and hoping to bring someone back, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, that sounds less like Pie in the Sky, though.
It's as much adapted as any based on a true story is, surely.
And by the true story.
he took sections of his speech from The West Wing.
Oh, lame.
Yeah, of course. Right? And then when he got busted, because he got busted by, like, someone on 3AW, and they were giving him shit for stealing from the West Wing, you know, he said that he has phrases that are kind of lodged in his brain, and this was an unconscious homage to the West Wing, West Wing's creator, Aaron Sorkin, who he describes as one of the greatest speechwriters we've ever seen. And that sounds like every comedian who was caught stealing a joke. Like, just got lodged in my brain somewhere.
That can happen.
I can believe
jokes.
That more than Aaron Sorkin, though.
I can understand a joke in your brain. I can't understand an entire speech, which presumably you have written down.
The same thing happens to me with TV adverts. Like, I'll just say a quote, and it's just something from an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are made to be reminiscent and catchy. I mean, I'm constantly finishing my Zoom meetings with like 4 score and 7 years ago, and I'm just like, all right, it's the only political.
I'm often slipping "find a better deal for you." Join Finder.com. Everyday conversation.
There's a TikTok going around that's gone viral of a guy just saying, "I ain't never seen two pretty best friends. One of them always got to be ugly." And that's in my mind constantly.
As you, like, examine every friend you've ever had, and you're like, where was I this child?
One of them always going to be ugly.
Well, this is the first time that an Australian politician has been caught stealing from political TV. You might remember Malcolm Turnbull, who stole his campaigning slogan from a particular TV show. Do you remember which TV show it was?
Oh, it was
it's vape.
Yeah. Continuity, which was change.
Yeah.
That was great because in vape it was a statement that made no sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, they said that they deliberately tried to write the stupidest campaign slogan that they could come up with, and it was sent to them. Like, what, you know, someone on Twitter found one of the writers and was like, "Oh, hey, have a look," and they were like, "Oh no." We tried to make the stupidest thing we could. And yeah, so one of them was continuity with change, and one of them was continuity and change. So it's only very mildly different.
No, totally.
Both so. Mean nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting how, like, you know, the West Wing is this dumb, shiny idea of what politics would be like, you know, like a liberal fantasy, whereas House of Cards, which also sort of pretends to be this, you know, dark, it's how it really works. But politicians, for the most part, say Veep is the most accurate version of
yeah, that's and what the I thought as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's what it actually looks like.
Accidentally everyone's stumble idiot. Into a good idea and then ruin it. And it's just a comedy of errors, essentially.
Mm. You guys ever watched In the Loop? That's like another great.
So good. I think it was the same creator.
Yeah, it's, that's all Iannucci. Armando Iannucci. Yeah.
Death of Stalin guy.
Yes. Death of Stalin was brilliant.
Long-time collaborator of Vogan.
Yeah. Long-time collaborator with actual politicians, it seems. All right. I'll move us out of Australia. I'll take us. Oh, actually, no, one more Australia one. This one's pretty fun. We'll lighten it up a bit. So an Alice Springs pub owner has been jailed after admitting to selling alcohol after his pub was closed during the COVID restrictions. Where was he selling the alcohol?
To kangaroos. In the desert?
Down back in the desert.
So he wasn't selling Alice Springs?
So he was in Alice Springs. His pub was closed in, and he was selling his supply of alcohol. But where was he selling it?
Oh.
Yeah, maybe it was a poorly phrased question. I'm not sure.
No, I like it.
Why did he try to flog his alcohol?
It's like a riddle.
Like Bilbo, what's in my pocket?
Not a fucking riddle.
Yeah.
Fucking Bilbo, full of
but
shit.
The fate of Middle Earth sat on that riddle. So,
where is he selling it? I'm trying to think of Alice Springs. I know Alice Springs is like a proper city, but in my head, I'm like a wasteland. Like, what's that?
It's like Mad Max, and he's the owner of Bullet Town or whatever.
It's a beautiful city. It's great. He sold it to the milk makers in the water wars.
was he selling it door to door?
That's a good that's a good guess. He wasn't, but it's a good guess.
Oh, okay.
And you're closer than you think you are, but it was a good guess.
In a little
the middleman are just selling it to high schoolers.
Yeah.
Giving them fake IDs.
Wow. Yeah, Alice Springs High.
Yeah, he'd go along. He'd be like the ice cream man. He'd come out and he'd be like, fake IDs, alcohol. Buy one than the other, get the order right.
Yes.
No, a van's pretty close. I'd give you in a van because he's actually selling it out of his taxi. So he owned a taxi.
And
he would pick people up in his taxi and just sell them. You know, he'd get orders. From his local customers, his regulars, and then he would come pick them up in a taxi, and they would do a transaction in a taxi, and then he'd leave them. He did this. He
admitted to doing it
150 times.
I tell you what, if taxis want to pull back some market share from a beer, is better than a bottle of water and some mint. I'm totally just thinking awesome place.
Yeah, we keep people complacent, for the length of a drive home.
So just get in a taxi, grab a traveller. Sounds good.
He was selling it at quite a markup. So he was selling the full 700ml bottles. What do you think he sold a 700ml bottle of rum for?
$100
It would have been. It started at $2, and then it was an extra 50 cents per kilometer, and then an extra 50 cents. Per, assume.
Is this one of those closest to the nearest million questions, or
$4 trillion?
$50 million.
Yeah. Did the Future Fund in new business?
Yeah, the Future Fund has been on it. This is actually their new business since Quibi collapsed.
It's a better bet, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm furious. I'm getting drunk tonight. I'm going to yell about that at someone that I don't know.
So he was selling a single bottle of rum for $150.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. You know, the kind of bottle that you buy for 30, 35 if it was not on sale, you know.
It was at Bundy? Like, Jesus.
As if you charge that much for Bundy.
I know. Well,
you say that, but, like...
He did it 150
times. 150
times,
yeah. Wow. He also sold cartons of beer. And they were okay. Also extreme markup. They were $250.
Right. For a carton? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Shame on the people who bought
only,
it.
Was he the only... Yeah. The only bottle, the only supplier of alcohol in all of Alice like Springs?
It. I couldn't find any information about that, but it sounds like he must have been the only person running, because he made, in his 150 trips, he made $17,000.
Oh my God, put him on.
I mean, good on him.
First I was like,
it's a little impressive.
At first, oh, wow, this is good Aussie behaviour. Then I heard the markup and went, fuck that guy. Fucking be in jail, prick.
Yeah, put him in jail. Throw him in there.
Well, that's surely how he got busted. One of his, because these are all his regulars. So someone had to have dubbed him in here. So someone probably saw the markup and was like, fuck you.
Someone paid 200 bucks for a carton of beer and went, it's fucking warm.
Yeah, but everything's warm in Alice Springs. Like, it doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Hmm.
We can judge these, actually. I take back my judgment of the people who purchased it, because when we had the 8 p.m. curfew in Melbourne, I was definitely definitely playing it.
It's like $250 for a Macca's delivery.
Oh, probably. No. There was one I bought. I didn't feel like beer, and the only thing on this app that they had was tequila for like $90. And I knew that I was getting my JobKeeper cut and that I should not spend money on alcohol. I don't drink that often.
But also,
but I put it right into my little cart.
So you need to commiserate your JobKeeper being cut.
I just wanted to stimulate the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's been my excuse for all of the food delivery I've gotten when I should have been just cooking my own food. No, no. I need to stimulate the economy. This is just me being lazy.
Got
to
help local businesses.
Just sitting there stuffing my face at McDonald's going, I'm helping.
Yeah. I'm, and I believe I'm you a, were.
Yeah, I'm a good person.
All right.
And, and McDonald's is still open because of you.
Yeah,
exactly. Struggling local chain McDonald's. Really needed my help.
Let's move away from Australia with some what I've classified as odd news. So that doesn't really help you in terms of categories, but... So according to a website called space.com, super resourceful. Next year, a NASA spacecraft will fly a capsule to the moon with something never before taken there. What are they taking?
A woman.
Patty Newton.
Poppers. Everybody should be able to do anal on the moon.
A Hungry Jack's Mega Jack Burger.
Yes.
Maybe a $250 bottle of beer. You know,
of rum. Yeah.
Box set of Jag.
The idea of the first man. Leave it on.
Yeah. It's a robot that sadly throws a DVD copy of the first man into a crater and sheds a single. Yeah.
We're going to do like if they're going to send two girls one cup, then obviously they're sending a reverse golden record, because the golden record was sent out, you know, to encourage life to come find us by putting some of our best achievements musically and the speeches and stuff. Whereas this time we're like, no, we're not that good. We're not worth visiting. Here is a compilation of our worst achievements, and you know, they send two girls one cup up there.
And Colin Firth's sex tape. So you know.
You just, like, you'd get the job done, but it wouldn't be that interesting.
And all the, like, compilation videos of, like, prime ministers falling down, like Julia Gillard, Kevin Rudd fumbling the bowl, and, like, Scott Morrison doing bar.
I assumed that Colin Firth's sex tape involved no actual sex. He just sort of stands there.
It'd be stoic.
Yeah, it'd be really sex.
Two girls with one expression.
He'd be reading like the 70s copy Times while he's
He's actually just reading Pride and Prejudice in the corner of the room. So they've got people who, like, prominent scientists and a couple other bits and pieces, and they're cremating them and sending their cremated remains to the moon.
I want that.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? So the company is the Orbital Memorial Company, and they plan to do this in July 2021. So, as I said, there's some scientists going up.
I could be dead by then. Great. Some of us are weightless.
We could all be dead by then. We give it enough of a red.
Look, it's important to have.
And so they've got this woman called Marita West, who is the geologist who helped pick the landing site for the Apollo missions. Yeah, and there's a few other famous people going up there, but there's one in particular who I think you will all be able to guess who they're sending up. Not a scientist.
I've already said Patty Newton.
Patty Newton.
Grimes. Elon's had enough.
Well, Elon probably just hitch a ride up to start his moon base where he doesn't have to obey Earth's labor laws and he can just do whatever. So, you know.
I feel like many of the happiest moments we've had as a in the last 4 years were times when we thought Trump might have died. Like, remember the Covfefe thing? Like,
yeah.
Making a massive shit. He heard anything yet? What if he's dead? Oh, and then, no, he wasn't dead.
Yeah. Well, I thought he'd Elvis'd his way.
Elizabeth has been for years.
Yeah, they just begin to burn her.
When he saw the Queen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's Arthur C. Clarke.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The center yourself. It costs.
Do you have to?
It costs money. You want to take a guess at how much it costs to send your ashes up there? In the thousands. Stimulating the economy.
Then I'll definitely be dead by 2021.
Well, what do you need a super for? The planet's going to die anyway.
Yeah, and I don't have any superpowers. I wish.
So. Yeah. Right. Well, that's what your super fund is for. The more you, the more you can say, the more superpowers you can buy.
Yeah, that's how you get the suit. How do you think that woman from The Incredibles can afford that incredible mansion? That's it.
Very well-known superhero, super fun.
Hmm. Do you ever think that maybe the government is doing this so that they can kill scientists so that we feel nice that they're going to the moon because we think it's cute, but they're actually just killing them?
See, this is what the Russians and the Chinese never thought of, giving them a dignified send-off. We don't know how they died, but because they're getting a dignified send-off, no one will ever know. No one will check these ashes for poison.
It's like hiding a body.
It's 12,500 to get your ashes up there, which is not as much as it would have been.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable.
I mean, the only problem is that you would have died. But otherwise, it's fine.
Yeah, otherwise fine.
So
it's this idea of sending ashes to space. It's interesting. Clark, obviously, great contribution to science fiction.
Mm.
He gets to go to the moon properly. The guy who played Scotty in Star Trek, the original, he wanted a similar thing for him, but, Star Trek television, so all fans could really afford was sort of shoot him in the air for a while and then it just sort of came together. Didn't stay in space.
Like, that guy... Mad Hughes, who tried to prove that the Earth was flat by building his own rocket and shooting it into space so that he could see the curvature of the Earth for himself, and of course died upon landing because he's an idiot. And he built
the second rocket part.
Yeah, that happens. Okay. Yeah.
Anyone's not.
They killed him so that we wouldn't find out.
Conspiracy, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He claimed that he was, he did claim that he was, like, using the Flat Earther community for money. So maybe they did, maybe they did sort of sabotage his rocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just before we move on from this, so the CEO of this company, he sees this service as a way of expanding human culture throughout the cosmos. So this is a quote from him. He says, "Our Luna 02 mission and subsequent Celestius lunar missions commemorate those who wish to make a tangible contribution to humanity, continued exploration, to humanity's continued exploration and peaceful utilization of space. But I don't think, personally, I don't think the launching of our dead into the void like plague bodies over the wall of a castle in a siege is really contributing to anything. Like, if we're just littering our desolate moon with corpses, I don't know if that's contributing.
If it was actual, like, not just dumps a bunch of bodies sort of just splattered around. Tangible behind, like,
yeah, it's weird because, like, I don't know if you guys noticed about the moon. The moon has, like, there's a bunch of things left behind from every mission that went up because they've got to jettison weight in order to come back. And on the list of things that have been left up there, there's some stuff that makes sense. There's, like, the hammer and the feather from the famous test of the gravity test, which I'll prove Einstein. And I just, like, bits and pieces, the rovers, the bottom of the landers. But the weirdest thing that we've left up there, obviously, because you wouldn't bring it back, is we've got 96 bags of poo on the moon.
Yeah.
That have just
96
been...
bags of poo on the moon.
96 bags.
But this, I always think, I've been thinking this for years, that essentially the moon is Earth's front yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if people are worried about aliens not coming to visit, it might be because they get to the moon and just see this landscape just littered with bags of shit. And
yeah, like, we're like a bad dog.
Yeah. Yeah, like abandoned cars. It's we're like that house in the neighborhood that has the really nice front yard. And you're like, oh, I don't wanna, like, if you're a census worker, you're like, I don't wanna knock on that door.
Yeah, the rovers are up on brick, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's taking the wheels.
What a teaser for how we've actually treated Earth. If you are an alien, you get there, it's just bags of shit, machinery. And where do you get here?
Now a bunch of ashes, like corpse ashes, just lying there next to bags of shit. Go.
How are they holding them down?
Well,
the ashes.
I guess they're in some sort of container, unless it's just like a flyby.
Just put a bag of shit above them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sprinkling
on shit. They will be collectible one day. Like, at some point, someone will go, we're getting off this bag.
Yeah, we'll just collect them on the way. I got
I think it's dangerous to start putting things on the moon. You know, once you start, like, where's the end point? Soon we're going to be, like, that, like, there's going to be a whole lot of junk in the moon. You know, when you, like, have, like we've just moved house and we have this shed and we were like, let's not make the shed, like, the place where we dump stuff. It's already the place where we dump stuff, you know?
Yeah, it'll just turn into an episode of Hoarders. All of a sudden you just got tons of cat corpses in the fridge.
So there's, like, reality TV show shot on the moon. You get, like, a container and you get to pick how much you want to bid for that container, what's in it. 96 bags of food.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
All right. Let's talk about the most important election of recent moments. Which, there's been fraud, there's been lies, there's been accusation of rigging. What election am I talking about?
The bird one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The New Zealand Bird of the Year competition.
This is
been fraught with conspiracies.
This happened with the Australian Bird of the Year as well.
So this has happened the last 3 years in a row with the bird competition.
It's a toxic community.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year there was a voting controversy that took place over the kakapo, which is known as the mighty moss chicken. It's the only parrot in the world that is unable to fly. There were data analysts working with the Forest and Bird, the Forest and Bird Registry, I guess, the ones who put it together, and they discovered a number of fraudulent votes had been cast. There's, like, you want to take a guess at how many fraudulent votes there were?
1,000.
1,000's a good guess.
2,000.
1001. Are we playing Price is Right?
Nearest without going over. It is 1,500 fraudulent votes were put in.
Oh my god!
Yeah, in this competition. Basically, for the last couple of years, they've been suspect about a few things. So it's usually people doing like email bombing or like mass voting from one IP address. In one of the previous years, there were a bunch of votes cast by what looked like a Russian IP address. It was probably just someone with a VPN. But then there was all this like speculation about Russian interference in the election. It was amazing.
Russian interference. Yeah.
Does Russia have birds? I guess they have the pigeon.
They shoot them all. Feed them to bears.
We all know birds aren't real, so.
Well, that's right. That's right. So Russia has no birds. Only drones.
No birds. Did you guys hear that they put us in lockdown to change the batteries in the birds?
Yeah, I heard that. That was my favorite conspiracy of the coronavirus. What? Yeah.
That is
literally a conversation I've had with members of the public at my job. we have birds at my work, and they were there several times. People have gone, where do you keep the real birds? You're like, no.
You're just pointing your female co-workers like, ah. Am I right?
These chicks, these birds. Ugh.
These birds, what are you going to do?
The New Zealand Bird of the Year, it's a big competition, and there's like essentially lobbyists who go out and like lobby for particular birds. This year, there was a record 40,000 early votes cast, and one of the birds, the hihi, which is described as a polyamorous, sexually fluid bird with big testicles, had its campaign sponsored by a local business. Now, I'm happy to accept that the type of business rather than the name of the business, because I don't expect anyone to know. But what kind of business might support this bird for the win?
Seems like something that we gays would embrace. So what's something that gays do? Was it pottery?
No.
Was it Bunnings?
Bunnings.
Well, I'm all out.
Its
name is Hee Hee. That's very cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cute bird name. I think they're small birds, if I remember correctly.
Have you just
small birds?
Yeah. Like, I guess it's a ratio thing rather than just like they're flying with,
it's not
flying with a Newton's cradle down there.
We're all just like, how small.
I don't know. Gillette.
Gillette?
Yeah. Like
best a man can get, those giant testicles.
Yeah.
Sporting goods?
No, it was a company called the Adult Mega Warehouse.
For mega adults.
For mega adults, yeah. Big testicles. They just love it. They're all about it. They sell giant cups. I think I'll end on two questions. I've got two last questions. So another one from New Zealand. The Weta Digital Workshop was recently had some employees come out and claim what happened in their workplace.
They found out that hobbits weren't actually...
What?
Turns out...
But why did they build the houses then? Somebody lived there.
Trying to live there.
Birds aren't real, but hobbits sure are.
Little,
if
little
you've seen my feet, you'll believe. sorry, can you repeat the question?
So, some employees from the Weta Digital Workshop have come out saying something about the workplace. What did they say?
Well, practice, people were paid overtime, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're not far off. You're not far off. The they said that the workplace is toxic. That there's terrible accusations of intimidation and co-workers watching porn at work and all this sort of really weird stuff. And I just thought, you know, it wasn't a big surprise to me because it seemed like the place was always full of trolls.
Sounds like it's run by a few hee-hees.
A few hee-hees out there causing trouble. And this is the last question, So the Deutsche Bank.
So I work in video production, and I once went to a short seminar run talking about their processes. And this to a toxic workplace. The guy, we got told about who went. They had a big studio that was a big jungle. Just the roof pit, like, Peter Jackson just took a camera and just ran with the camera looking up through the roof of this thing. And you want there. So there was some guy at Weta coming to work every day, and of every frame of this shot that Peter Jackson put out, all the ones where you could see the leaves so they could replace the sky on this shot.
That's crazy.
He spent a year and a half working on
that. Is terrible workplace conditions. Release the leaf cut. Release the leaf cut.
It's too much. And the end product, it's such a thankless job as well.
You're one name among like 10.
Yeah.
Very good remake of King.
It just looks like a tree.
Yeah.
Like.
And you're in the credits as like leaf painter number 7.
Leaf guy.
This is a question about Deutsche Bank. So they, so if you're not sure, they, Donald Trump owes them at least $300 million in loan repayments, and they were fined recently for laundering some Russian money in 2017, but they have come up with an idea regarding working at home. What do they think about working from home?
You should do it for free.
You get to stay home, so we don't have to pay you.
If you're working from home, then you don't need to sleep. You can keep working.
24-hour workday. Solid.
24 hours, yeah.
You're on call all the time.
And we'll send you a pizza because you're such a good employee.
Yeah. It's from South Australia.
You get so much free work from people if you give them free food.
So many businesses are like, pizza will solve this issue.
Yeah.
And so many employees that I've worked with have been like, they're nice, they give us pizza. I'm like, pizza.
Pizza is the trap by which we will get destroyed. I'm going to take a look.
It is the cheapest way to feed over 10 people.
It is, yeah.
Like, yes.
It really is. You don't even need plates because you can tear the lids off the boxes, you tear those in half, that wastes the plate.
It's not incredible.
Are you going to take a guess, Dave? Do you have any thoughts about what Deutsche Bank thinks about working from home?
That you should not do it.
You
should work from a sieve from homes that they've specially designed for work to be done.
Like an office?
Is that what it's called? An office? Yeah.
You should work from home, and your home is now the office.
Yeah. You should live
and
at
work. You can actually buy a home if you only need like 1% for the deposit, and that's fine.
Well, yeah. Surely, if you work for the bank, they're like a bit lenient on giving you a home loan because they're like, well, we know you work here, so you're good for it. We'll just take it. Like no questions.
What's their working? What's their working from home plan?
So they think that everyone who works from home should be taxed 5% of their pay for the privilege of working from home.
Yeah, it's a fucking privilege. I love it.
Yeah, right.
I love it.
Banks. Banks are great. They're just so great at being cartoon villains.
Yeah, right?
Yes!
And for a while there, they were the villains in movies, but then we stopped doing that. I think we should bring that back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, the trouble is the Banks fund all the movies
now. That's true. And Steve Mnuchin.
Exactly. But we got the, it all started with Tony Stark. Then everybody thought the billionaires were kind and aspirational.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No one is going to be a billionaire. You should assume that you will never be a billionaire.
Also, I don't want Elon Musk to have a suit with lasers.
Yeah, no way. No way. Can you imagine how the Thai boy rescue would have gone down if Elon Musk had a flying suit with lasers? No. No, he'd have just punched his way in.
Latex suit, and I'm like, I don't want a king sham, but you don't need to like do it outside of the house, Elon.
Jeff Bezos would fly around his warehouses shooting at people who went a minute over their break.
Oh my god, yeah. If you didn't fill up the water bottle that you had to pee in because you're afraid to take breaks, then he'd have his drones fly around and take you down.
And his little heart circle thing would just be on his dick. I don't know why.
It's appropriate.
Never seen Iron Man.
Arc reactor is a cock ring. That's very
interesting. I think the problem started with Batman, if I'm honest.
Now I'm just picturing the it is a cock ring. And what's his name in the first movie saying, Tony Stark built this in a cave!
The box of scraps! No, I think it probably started with Batman. Because Batman were... People were like... The idea of Batman, people really got into. But he's just at the time, millionaire, I guess, who refused to put money into social industries and social care and used it to buy tanks to punch people.
Yeah, you always... He's one of those things where it's an old idea that was just a silly power fantasy. Where if you were, you know, a guy in a bat suit, you also have tons of money. But if you actually examine it, it's like... Does he pay tax? Surely he's doing some tax dodging.
I tweeted at Marvel, does Stark Industries pay tax? They refuse to answer.
really hold truth to power there.
Yeah, I am. I'm just like, does he? Like, is it discussed at any point? They discuss a lot of things in those comic books. I've never heard it.
Yeah. In the last Avengers film, they're sorting out his tax debt. That's
right.
That's it's one of the key battles.
It is.
Yeah, he didn't die and move to the Cayman Islands. It's just...
Lives in Monaco now.
It was all an elaborate way to escape his tax bill. Because now the IRS was unsnapped.
People should only watch Thor Ragnarok, in my opinion. It's the only film I've ever seen.
It's a good film.
It's the only film they should watch. Not even in the Marvel Universe.
Just anything.
Only film.
No more Mary Poppins, nothing. No.
I haven't seen any of the other Marvel films, but I have seen Thor Ragnarok twice in the cinema.
It was good. That was a good choice if you had to only see one.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. Like, of all the ones you could have chosen to see, it's the most solid one.
If just for Taika Waititi going, piss off, ghost! Like, the entirety of the MCU, you know, 15 years of movies was all worth it for that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their justification for this is no good. They say that working from home will be part of the new normal after the pandemic has passed. They argue that remote workers should pay a tax for the privilege, and their calculations suggest the amounts raised could fund material income subsidies for low-income earners who are unable to work remotely and thus assume a more old economy and health risks.
But you couldn't pay them more?
No.
Would that be...
We subsidize them.
There's a finite amount of money that banks have.
Yeah.
So banks are doing like a Robin Hood thing where they're stealing from the
privileged who get to work at home and give it to the frontline workers.
Slightly less poor to give to the slightly more poor.
Yeah.
Both of them still remaining poor though.
Yeah. Of course. The most important thing. Yeah. You don't have poor people, no one will borrow your money.
Are they suggesting that the 5% tax comes straight back to them and they distribute it?
I would assume so, yeah.
I think that's the idea, yeah.
Okay, Frydenberg.
But would that be to people who aren't working for them?
Yeah, right. So what are they doing? Like, what are they doing with the 5%? Are they suggesting that they're going to, like, create social programs, or are they going to just give it to the workforce.
Well, they're going to create higher risk workers.
Yeah, they're like, well, we'll bring in a bunch of people who have to work here.
Yeah, and we'll make them cough onto each other and make them fight in a pit.
Deutsche Bank is starting the Thunderdome.
That's what they'll do. Like, they're not good people.
No. Well, when this started going about, someone like went back and had a bit of a look into Deutsche Bank and uncovered to remind everybody that Deutsche Bank funded Auschwitz.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. And that tells you a lot about this. I mean,
that's not on the they don't put that in the ads.
Not on the website, yeah.
our history reel that you watch when you start working in the
Yeah, fuck.
I mean, it's kind of because it's, I guess, the national bank. I suppose it would have been taken over, but at the same time, it doesn't bode well. Like, you're just like, okay, how deep can we bury this? This was uncovered in like 1999. That's so they kept it buried
like,
for a while.
You can just imagine some kind of like right wing commentators these days be like, no, actually, it was an investment for the future.
The Germany Future Fund had actually invested in.
See, if we're going to talk about autocratic governments nationalizing companies like this, I'd prefer to talk about Iran when the Shah was overthrown and they nationalized Pizza Hut.
That's amazing.
They took over. There were Pizza Huts and they took them over. and then at some point they decided that the name Pizza was too Western, so it got changed to a Persian name that translates roughly to elastic loaf. That's what they call pizza there.
Elastic loaf hut.
So the, that's what I'll be calling it.
Essentially, the Iranian government was like any business after Pizza Hut collapsed and just took over those very distinct-looking buildings.
Yeah. This used to be an elastic loaf hut.
Yeah. Well, here's I guess before we wrap up, before I tell you who won, something along the lines of nationalizing odd things. So because Google and Facebook are sort of up in the air about whether or not they'll continue to provide services to Australia if we make them pay for news, somebody suggested that maybe the ABC would run a nationalised social media.
Yes, yeah, I agree with
that. And I think it's pretty fascinating, but I don't know, like, I worry about what it would mean for, you know, Big Ted when he gets gets turned neo-Nazi from this. From all these like online forums that he's forced to moderate, he's just gonna have a breakdown.
Yeah. What's through the round window? Racism.
That's right.
your racist uncle. That's what's through the round window.
What's through the Hindu sign for peace window?
And Jemima just becomes a scapegoat.
Jemima gets doxxed.
She gets wrapped up in some bonking scandal, interrupted by the PM.
Yeah, she's trying to explain herself and it's being cut off all the time. But I'm curious to see how that plays out, because I really don't know. Like, it seems like Google's not going anywhere. I doubt, like, Google, of all businesses, like, they're trying to negotiate deals with China to make a acceptable version of Google for China, so they just want to be everywhere. But I can imagine Facebook going away out of spite. So, I mean, we're not losing that much if it goes. But
I just like the idea the ABC thinks they're going to be able to run something.
Yeah, right.
Because obviously the ABC is flush with cash.
Yeah,
just tons of cash lying around at the ABC. They can use.
I think this is how they think they're going to get their money back. Is like they'll just start data mining everyone. Yeah.
Oh my god.
The ABC budget jumped. It was huge.
One of the bananas becomes like a Snowden.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, B1? I think I am, B2. It's investigation time.
It's time to whistleblow.
It's time to avoid extradition and move to Russia.
Yeah.
Comrade B1 and Comrade B2.
Oh, great. There's a ring to that.
C1 and C2.
All right. Well, I think, just based on accidentally stumbling across the most correct answers, I think the winner of this one was Jordan.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm a genius.
So, congratulations.
What can I say? I got my degree from the University of TikTok. That's where I get all my information.
Is that like?
I wish it was a lie.
So like a subsidy of the School of Hard Knocks. It's just
considering the media landscape in Australia, like getting all your news from TikTok is not the worst idea.
Yeah, I actually think it's a credible source, and I won't lie.
That's because all your lessons are actually just recorded tutorials that someone's miming over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also, I did see a commentary saying that girls on TikTok, there was a period of time where girls on TikTok being like, just print more money. We made the economy up. Print more money. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And they were like, they radicalized more youth than any like leftists that went to university. Because like, people in the comments being like, yeah.
Yeah, do it. I feel like
I wonder if there's a sort of a gap in the market for an economic skeptic. Yeah, everyone who doesn't believe in money.
Yeah.
So like karma.
It'd be more interesting than the same old just like, you know, new age not believing in medicine that inevitably turns anti-Semitic somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want to be somebody who I don't believe in money.
So someone like,
I think air is real.
Walking into
cars are fake. Make it interesting.
Walking into like a used car dealership with a bunch of chickens, being like, "Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal."
Let's do this. Yeah, I love the dialogue where people like, especially like a lot of women and people in the queer community loving astrology, and like men be like, "Poor astrology is not even real." And then us two are like, "What the fuck do you believe in? The economy? Dow Jones? We made it up."
You're gonna believe it. If you're gonna choose to believe in some sort of system, the healing power of crystals is a lot more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And the stars are real. There's no denying that.
No one's arguing that the stars are not real. It's very true.
Well, I don't know. There's probably someone out there. I mean,
the stock market.
Flat Earth.
The stock market. It's on the clues. Like, the FTSE. Someone called an index the FTSE.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is that my co-star said not to trust my body, and then I got hemorrhoids.
You know what? I'm convinced. I'm sold.
Too many spicy corn chips. We've all been there, right?
Set me up with your TikTok account. I will be taking my astrology readings from you every day.
Gemini, avoid hemorrhoids.
Well, I am Gemini, so that's me. I will take that on board.
Yeah, well, good. There's your advice.
That's my advice for today.
Wisdom.
So far, so good. It's been a pretty good day. Let's do some plugs. If anyone's got anything to plug, let's shoot around the room. I know it's a pretty quiet time for anything, but anything you think...
I mean, Dave and I are both on a podcast called Pun Watch.
Oh, yeah! Yeah! That's what I do!
Yeah, it's sort of been... It's been a bit more difficult to get it done over the course of the pandemic, but things are starting to ease. So hopefully we'll get back into our relaxed schedule, as opposed to the incredibly relaxed schedule. We're both part of the consumption. Pun Watch is the main one we do. We might be able to start getting back to play and launch as well once the pandemic season's done.
Great.
Yeah.
Joel, do you have anything?
I am also on podcasts because there's nothing else that you can really consume of me. I'm on a Sex and the City podcast with Honor Wolf and Irvi Majumda. It's called Sex and the Sex in the Sex. came up with a name when we started it in 2014, and then we returned to it last year.
Just in time for the
pandemic. Now it's good.
Yeah.
The first season is bad, so don't listen to season one. Season two.
That's what we tell everyone with our podcast too. The first season always involves too much shouting of any podcast.
Yes.
You've got to get past the complicated shouting.
It used to just be Honor and I. There's one where we're like eating chips in bed, recording on an iPad, like,
that's some classic early podcast action, yeah.
Absolutely. And then I have another podcast called Pop Gaze, which is far better production quality. The other one I produce, so that's the issue. This one, I'm on with Aurelia Sinclair and Charlie's Angel, and it's called Pop Gaze. We talk about pop culture, and it's fun.
Great. I'd just like to point people towards my TikTok, where I will be reading astrological signs from now on, and yes. trying to revolutionize the Gen Z. Although they're probably more revolutionary than me at this point, to be honest. They're on top of it. They don't need my help. There's been a few digital fringes at the moment, and I've got a storytelling show that I happened to record prior to the pandemic shutting everything down. And it's on a couple of digital fringes, including this Melbourne Fringe. It's called I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, and hopefully I'll be able to do live gigs and tour again at some point. Otherwise, check out some more of these. I've got more of these with different guests. And this is the last one for this festival season, but it'll be back, I think, for Comedy Festival, because it looks like Comedy Festival's happening again, assuming everything goes smoothly. And thanks for your time, everybody. And thanks for the listeners, and see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.